this evening. Let's turn over to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4. Good to see this crowd out on Wednesday evening. Philippians, chapter number 4. If you can and are able, let's stand tonight, honor the reading of the Word of God found in Philippians, chapter number 4. I want to start reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for, my joy and crown, so stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved. I beseech Eutychus and beseech Tychicus that they be of the same mind in the Lord. And I entreat thee also, true yoke fellow, help those women which labored with me in the gospel, with Clement also, and with other my fellow laborers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say, rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful or worry for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." You may be seated this evening. Thank you for standing. Father, we love you. And so we thank you now for this time together. Lord, I pray you'd help me around the Word of God tonight. I pray, Lord, that you'd let preaching, teaching be easy. I pray you'd let us be a blessing. I pray now that you would help us for the things that need to be said tonight. And God, would you do things here only that you can do? Help us now, and we'll be grateful to you. I ask that you would guard my mind. Lord, you'd lead me by the Holy Ghost tonight. I ask you, Lord, to help me be with each teacher. In Jesus' name we pray and ask you, amen and amen. I want to preach tonight on the mind of the Master. On the mind of the Master. Jesus spoke a lot about our mind. I wouldn't take an inventory, but there's some people, you know, don't worry about nothing, and some of us just worry about everything. Amen. There's some folks you'd have to pay them to worry. They don't worry about nothing. But then there's some of us that our mind seems like that it runs rampant with us. And I got to noticing in the Word of God, he said in verse number six, be careful. That word is worry or anxious. It's where we pull our word of anxiety out. So be anxious or worried for nothing. Now, we better realize that it doesn't mean don't be thinking about some things. It's a big difference in thinking through and worrying. Now, I want to say you'll never be sorry about thinking before acting. And you'll never be sorry about hearing before judging. And you'll never be sorry about forgiving your enemies. You'll never be sorry for helping a fallen brother or sister in Christ. You'll never be sorry for thinking about being honest in business or being loyal to your church. Somebody say amen right there. And you'll never be sorry. You'll never go wrong about thinking for standing by your principles and for stopping your ears to gossip and for bridling a slanderous tongue. For sympathy, even with the afflicted, you'll never go wrong in thinking about that and helping somebody. Or for being courteous and kind to all. But certainly tonight, I believe that the Lord has us to dwell on this thing of anxiety. And I want to talk about four areas tonight about our mind. First of all, I want us to talk about the acknowledgement or the source of worry. And then the scheme of worry, then the sin of worry, and the solution to worry. Now, I've got a mother tonight, and some of you laugh, but some of us have inherited some things we wish we hadn't been in the gene pool. Somebody say amen right there. My mother worries about everything, and so I've got some things honest. And, you know, some folks, they laugh, but you know, the mind is an organ. And I've asked this question one time, and some of you may not agree with this, but it helped my heart get past. I had a dear preacher friend that took his life. And I didn't understand. I was a very young preacher at that time. This man was preaching all across the country, God using him. And he took his life. And Brother Tim, a man helped me with that. He said, well, you know, preacher, when a man has a bad heart, he has a heart attack. When a man's mind goes bad, it's an organ, he'll take his life. So don't think it silly if somebody's got some mind issues. Amen. You say, preacher, I've been living with him a long time. Well, I understand that too. You say, preacher, I've been living with her a long time. I agree. Mind. But you know, we've all got some mind issues. I wonder how many times have you ever thought something and it seems so real, but it never did appear? Am I the only one? Like Parker, things seem pooky sometimes. But tonight, I want us to think about this thing of what he says. And you ought to take your pen and underline this. I hope it'll be a blessing. But in Philippians 4:1, be careful or anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Now, to worry about what we can't help is useless. And to worry about what we can't help is just really silly, isn't it? I mean, it is. Worry don't change anything. And now, first of all, in Matthew 6:25, I want to deal with this scripture mainly. In Matthew 6:25, then I want to go to a few other areas and hope to be a blessing. Matthew 6:25. I'll give you time to get there this evening. Now I want to read down to about verse number 34. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold, the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? Somebody say amen right there. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? Maybe anxiety has to do with limited faith. Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat or drink or be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient to the day is the evil thereof. Now the acknowledgement or the source of our worry. The source of our worry. Now this word thought is used 6 times and it simply means anxiety. In verse 25, the Bible says there, take no thought. In verse 27, it says taking thought. Verse 28, take ye thought. Then he says in verse number 31, take no thought. And then in verse 34, it's used twice. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Now, it certainly means to take no thought in Greek. You know what it really means? It means to have a divided mind. A mind that's turned between two objects. Now, in verse number 26, there Jesus is writing. And first of all, it says it is foolish to worry. Behold, the fowls of the air, they sow not, neither do they reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Now, look at the birds of the air. We worry over possessions and provisions and promises. But here, the Bible teaches us that it's foolish to worry. And then in verse 27, it's really futile to worry. Now, look, it says, which of you by taking thought can add one cubit unto his stature? Now, to worry here, the stature means the duration of life. Let me ask you this, will worry make you live longer? Will worry make you grow taller? You know those saying, worry, hurry, and bury. That's true, ain't it? You know, I preached Sunday morning on the lady that was bent over double because she had a spirit of infirmity. She had a battled mind and it affected her body. And boy, it is foolish to worry. It's futile to worry. But it's also, it is very frustrating to worry. Look in verses 28 and 29. And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow, they toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Then verse 30 through 32, not only is it foolish and futile, but it is pretty much faithless to worry. Look what it says. Now, he said, wherefore if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is tomorrow's cast in the oven, shall he not much more clothe ye, O ye of little faith? So it is faithless to worry. Worry reveals a lack of faith in God's promises, God's protection, and God's provision. Now, many times when we have these anxieties and these worries, many are paralyzed by the past. That's yesterday. What happened yesterday? We get stuck in that in our mind and we can't move out of yesterday. We're paralyzed by the past. And then secondly, we're puzzled about the future. That's tomorrow. What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen tomorrow? Well, tomorrow's going to happen if the Lord don't come and if we don't go to meet Him tonight. And then it's paralyzed by the past and it's puzzled about the future. And then it's no peace for the present. And I'm going to tell you something. I have been caught up here in my life before. And it's not an easy place to be. It's a very puzzled place to be. It's a very unstable place to be. I don't believe anybody would say, now, I have chose to worry myself crazy. That's just like a drunkard say, well, now, I woke up this morning, I chose to be a sot drunk. No, no, they didn't. A lifestyle led to that. And so tonight, we need to realize that this thing of the source of worry, first of all, it is real. It can be anxiety on everybody here. Now, you start raising children. You have grandchildren, you have husbands and wives, and you have jobs, you have friends, you have church. There's so many things in life that can bring anxiety to our minds. Is that not right? How many times, let me ask you this, how many times have you flopped over in the bed and your spouse said, "What's wrong with you?" And you say, "Well, I can't get this off my mind." How many times, I don't know if it's anybody here, maybe just me, but how many times has it so took your mind over that when you went to sleep and you woke up and you said, "Oh my Lord, I woke up." You know, some of y'all got issues with drinking. I don't. But I got some issues with worrying. Amen? And cigarettes bother some of y'all. It don't bother me. But I'm not going to crow too loud. I'll be buying me a pack of Marlboro in the morning. We all human. Are we not human? But we see this source of worry. And then number two, there's a scheme about worry. And that's why I said all of that. There are the wiles of the devil. The devil knows where your weakness is tonight. And certainly, let's look here and realize something. There's the scheme to worry. I believe the devil's behind it so often. You say, "Well, you know, my genetic makeup is to worry." Well, I can tell you it may be, but I can tell you this, the devil pours gas on it when he can. And I want you to notice this tonight in Ephesians 6 and verse number 11. Ephesians 6 and verse number 11. Paul's writing, he's older in life, and he says this. He says, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand." How many times have we heard that verse read in our lives? "Against the wiles of the devil." You know what wiles mean? It means the arts used by a commander to take advantage of his enemy. In other words, he has many schemes. He has many tricks in his tool chest. And therefore, the scheme behind our worry is, number one, the wiles of the devil. It's one of his tools. And then, I read this verse Sunday morning on the scheme of our worry. Not on the wiles of the devil, but the warfare of the devil. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 3. 2 Corinthians 10 and verse number 3. "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh." Now, there is the warfare. Now, it is a warfare to be saved. I'm glad I'm at peace with God, but I'm at odds with the devil. And I sure am glad the devil don't like me. I'm glad the devil knows where I go to church. I'm glad he knows where I live. I'm glad he knows what I drive. And I'm going to tell you something, the weapons of our warfare, I'm going to tell you tonight, the warfare is real. There's the wiles of the devil, there's the warfare of the devil, but then watch this in verse number 4, there's the weapons of the devil. And here it is, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations." There's that word that means thoughts. Simply thoughts. And you know that word could cover everybody in the building. I'd ask you this tonight. If you don't have any trouble with worry, do you have any problem with bad thoughts? Maybe when you see somebody and you're infiltrated at them and these thoughts come into your mind. Maybe there's thoughts in your mind from a past lifestyle. That's why we ought to be preaching to all of our young people. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little feet, where you go. Because the older you get, the more that your brain will hit rewind. Our brain is not saved. I wish I had a glorified brain. I wouldn't be a dummy. But tonight, this this casting down. I want to ask you this right here in this scheme to our worry. This weapons, the imaginations means thought. And he says, casting them down. You know what that tells me? They're going to spring up. They're going to rise up when I'm not looking, when I'm not anticipating. I mean, as soon as I get up out of my bed, they're liable to spring up on me. They may spring up on you. And immediately, Paul's writing here and he says, you ought to cast them down. In other words, don't hold on to them. Now, I'm going to go somewhere in a minute, but this right here is what's so easy for me to do. This is what I love to do. Hold on to it. Get on the lawnmower. I'm holding on to it. I mean, isn't it amazing? Does anybody else have any trouble with imaginations and thoughts? And you know, the devil loves to breathe stuff. And boy, don't he love to tell lies. Loves to tell lies. And I'm going to tell you the second part to anxiety is fear. That next time I get to teach, I'm going to teach on the fear. Because a lot of times anxiety has to do with fear. We're fearful of what's going to come next. If this person has surfaced in our life, we're fearful when they're going to show up again. Or if when this letter comes in the mail, man, oh no, when we're going to get another one? And your mind just run yourself crazy about it. And I think that it has to not only do with anxiety, but anxiety is always coupled with some fear. The unknown. The what if. Well, what's next? What? We'll be just like a little Chihuahua dog chasing his tail in a circle. And see, this is the thing about it. When the devil so consumes our mind like that, we're not no good to nobody. Matter of fact, we can become a bother to them that we love. Somebody say amen right there. Say, oh my God, don't ask me that again. Amen. Sometimes I ask my wife, I say, what you think about this? She'll say, well, this is the 12th time today. It's the 12th time today, but I'm going to go and tell you anyway. Wouldn't it be a blessing stuff to sink in us sometime? Just sometime. And this is what's so amazing to me about warfare. And I realize I have a weakness here in my mind. But the devil will say, I said, what'd you say? And I start trying to listen to what he said instead of casting it down, letting go of it. No, I don't want that on me. Get away from me. And so I want to ask you this. If we're going to cast it down, it must mean that it'll present itself to us. Now, I want to say there's the source of worry, then the scheme to worry. The devil, many times, is behind it. The devil will keep you busy doing nothing. And isn't it amazing how you've got to push yourself and push yourself, or you'll totally sit down and do nothing for nobody or yourself. The devil would love to have everybody here to shut down with their mind. You know, we hear a lot about, I've always heard preachers preaching against drinking, smoking dope, running around wild women. I mean, I knowed all that was wrong, but I never had many men tell me about how to escape this mind I've got. So I want to ask you this tonight, number three. Not only this source of worry and the scheme of things of the worry, but what about the sin of worry? I think when we put it in the light of being sinful, it puts new light on worry. Now you say, well, why do you say it would be a sin to worry? Well, worry and faith cannot live together. You know, one time it was here Jesus was writing in Matthew 6, and he was talking about the sparrow. And I looked at this writing, and a sparrow and a robin, they had a breakfast together. And all of a sudden, one said, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so, said the sparrow to the robin. Friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. I want to read it again. They said, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so, said the sparrow to the robin. Well, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me. You know, that little bird to get up on a branch, he'll start singing. You know what? He's a-trusting. He's trusting the God that breathed into him to feed him that day and to take care of him that day. You say, preacher, what happens when he runs out in front of my car and I kill him? The Bible says that God even sees where he falls. That's a big God. I remember Carl Partain one time. He said it here. He was up preaching. He said he was really had an issue and he was worried about some things. And he said that this little sparrow run into his car and he killed it. He said, I watched it. It went protruded forward. He said, I pulled over and I nailed down by that little sparrow because the Bible says that God sees every sparrow that falls. And he said, I knowed I could talk to God because he's watching that little sparrow. I'm glad I got a God tonight that not only feeds the birds, but he feeds his children. And he sees about his children. And he's a God that can be trusted. He's a God can even be tested. He's a God can be traced all through your life. He's a good God. And he's a trustworthy God tonight. And the devil would have your mind to shut down on you, doubting God. God, are you really going to see about me? God. Oh, yes, he is. Yes, He is. Casting down all imaginations and thoughts that hinder us. Now the acknowledgement, not only the scheme of our worry and the sin of our worry. Now, doubt and faith cannot coexist. One or the other takes over. Now I want to close with the solution. To worry. What's the prescription for it? Many people go to the doctor for anxiety. I'll be honest with you. I'm fixing to blow my nose, so hang on a minute. I went to the doctor back a year or so ago. And I was having some problems, of course, physically. And he said, boy, you're wired tight, aren't you? I said, oh, yeah, I make Ritalin jump back up in a bottle. Huh? He said, well, you know, I can give you something to help you. Miss Renee said, give him 3. And so I remember I tried it, and I just didn't like how it affected me. It just shut me down like I was a zombie. I don't like being like that. And I know my sisters won't hear this, but all the way from my mother through all of us, all of our children were prescribed things for anxiety. And I got to looking in this Bible, Brother Joe, and I got to thinking, God, I know you're what you say you are. And I know medicine could help me. I know you've had doctors to prescribe things that can help people. But God, I'm going to trust you with this in my life to help me through this. And I found some scripture that really did help me. And you know, I'm not playing down. I know lots of people take medicine for anxiety. But I'm going to tell you, the best medicine I've ever found in my life is the Word of God. I don't downplay anxiety. I know it's real. And you know, if the doctor can help you, let them help you. But I'm going to tell you the best help that I've ever found is right here. And I want to show you something that I found in the Word of God that's really helped me, a verse that's so powerful. I want you to look, now talking about the solution to anxiety, look in Isaiah chapter number 26. Now I want you to get your pen out, and I want you to underline this right here this evening. Isaiah 26 and verse number 3. Now, I would ask you this. The devil knows that you'll get help in a church where the Word of God's being preached. The devil knows that you'll get help in a church where believers will pray for you and fellowship is real. So one of the biggest things the devil's going to try to do is to keep you out of this Word of God. This is the greatest medicine that's ever been known to mankind. There's nothing in our life that this Bible can't sort out. Now, I want you to read this verse right here, and I want us to read it out loud together tonight in Isaiah 26 and verse number 3. And I'm going to start reading. I want you to read out loud with me. Ready? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Know where that verse is in your Bible and your mind starts getting the best with you. Pull the Word of God out and read this until you have it memorized in your heart. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Now look what it says. Whose mind is stayed on the Lord. Now when these imaginations and these thoughts, the Bible says casting them down, when they spring up, we better know what this says. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on the Lord. My mind's got to stay on the Lord. I can tell you one reason we have so many anxieties. We're not spiritual people. We're more carnal than we are spiritual. We're worried about keeping pace with the Joneses and trying to get this one and that one. But Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. But let's say tonight you've got everything in the right place, and you're still battling the scheme of the devil about your mind. Know where to go for the greatest medicine that's been known unto man. Let me ask you this. Do you believe in John 3:16? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life? Well, sure you believe that. Do you believe God's Word is infallible, inerrant, and inspired? Well, sure you do. Then believe Isaiah 26 and 3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on Thee. Lord, my mind's got to stay on you. You ought to fill it full of gospel music. You listening to Achy Breaky Heart, no reason you got anxiety like you got. My tractor's sexy, Lord, that'd give anybody a nervous breakdown. That's the craziest thing. There's gospel writers writing the craziest music. Mama's teaching angels to sing. Ain't nobody's mama teaching angels do nothing. Man, know what the Word of God says. I was riding home from a meeting the other night, and I was talking to Renee. I said, honey, I've just heard another crazy gospel song. And I told her, she said, that's right on up there with mama teaching them angels to sing, ain't it? I said, I mean, they just right there together. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Now, the solution to our worry. Now, let's go back over there to that text just a minute in Matthew 6, and I'll be closing. And I want to share these comments with you. Matthew 6. Verse 30. The solution. Well, we have a valuable promise, and I just read it. But we have it again in verses 30 through 32. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast in the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? In other words, He's looking about all them little old birds. He's going to look about you. And He's going to look about me. And then there's a valuable promise there. And then there's a vital priority in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. In other words, God is telling us there's a vital priority. Listen to me. This post is God. Around this post is your church. Everything else is your life. It's got to center around God and His church. This don't center around you. You've got to center around this. This is the pillar. This is the post. This is the anchor. And everything you do has got to be involved about this. If I do this, what's going to happen here? I've got to be right with God. I've got to be faithful to my church. We need each other. There's a community, there's a generation counting on us to stay true to this book. Everything I do, seek ye first. And every decision I make, seek ye first. How's it going to affect the kingdom with the decision I make? If I make the wrong decision, is it going to affect the kingdom and people of the kingdom? Very important. The solution, a valuable promise, a vital priority. Lastly, there's a victorious principle. Verse 34, now take therefore, and the only time He uses it, take now therefore no thought for the bar. What about tomorrow? I'll tell you what my Bible says. Don't worry about it. Here's today, here's tomorrow. Now I'm spending all this energy, and I'm not even over there yet. What could I have done here if I'd have pulled this energy from over there into here? And I'm going to tell you something. When I find myself trapped on something, it's not fair to my wife. She's got to live in that. And you know, she's this way. And I'm like this. State Park. Roller coaster ride. Woo! Here we go down another. And she's just like this, like, man. You need to get a handle on your side. But I just want to tell you something. Don't think it's not real issues. Because the devil will turn it on you. He'll tell you, Brother Tim, you don't like me. Miss Brenda's madder than fire at me. She's walked in, sat down, ain't said nothing. She's had a hard day with them little old young'uns all day. Nearly said something else. I'm growing in the Lord. She ain't said nothing to me. I mean, ain't that right? She went right. I watched her when she walked in. Both times she walked right there. She sat down. And while the devil could have said nine things, she's mad at you. Yucka, yucka, yucka. casting down imagination. Oh, I don't want to get away. Think on these things. I've got to think on Christ. Now the one that the mind is stayed on thee, he'll give me peace. God, I need peace. Sure. Brenda's not said nothing to me. Brother Tim ain't said nothing. Why's them imaginations got? It must be the devil trying to play games with my mind. Could I ask you this? If the devil knows drinking's not my problem, some things that you face and you know is your weakness, don't you realize it's a tactic of the devil for some? And you ought to try to help people when you can help them. We're in this thing together. Amen. Somebody comes to you and says, I just want to ask you something. Are you mad at me? Well, instead of you wagging your tongue back and being hateful to them, you ought to say, nope. Sure ain't. Some of y'all say, just shake your head long and slow. Nope. Nope. And then walk up in your world in the morning and say, you mad at me? You say, nope. Nope. I got it now. It clicked. I got it now. Now, Lord, my mind's got to stay on you. On your word. Because you make no mistakes. Your word's true. And you're going to see about me. And you're going to handle any problem that comes my way if I turn it over to you. Because there's nothing too hard for you. And so if this happens, Lord, I'm just going to turn it over to you. Because I tell you what I done found out. He'll let me handle it just as many times as I want to. Thank you for being here tonight. Stand with us. Glad there's a solution.